Hello, everybody. Today, let's delve into some adventure. Today, we're going to examine seeking medical care at a destination. I'm talking about medical tourism. Have you heard of it? Medical tourism has emerged as a significant global industry where individuals travel across international borders to seek medical treatment, often for reasons such as cost savings or access to specialized treatments or shorter wait times. This phenomenon of medical tourism has gained momentum and made it easier for patients to access medical services in different parts of the world. Today, I'm going to talk about this exploding industry and why it's seeing such growth, why folks are choosing it, where they're going, and then you know we have to talk about who's going where for what. Medical tourism is indeed a global phenomenon, and its value means a great deal to patients, and a great deal for patients, and a monetary shot in the arm to many of the countries that serve as destinations. It's big money. Think $100 billion globally. According to Patients Beyond Borders, the most sought-after medical procedures in medical tourism include cosmetic surgery, dental treatments, orthopedic surgeries, cardiac procedures, but people also pursue treatment for cancer, often experimental or last resort, reproductive and fertility challenges, weight loss or bariatric procedures, miscellaneous scans and tests and health screenings and second opinions. This next part is so interesting. Mexico and Costa Rica are popular destinations for U.S. travelers seeking dental care, cosmetic surgery, and discounted prescription medications. Thousands of people cross the United States-Mexico border annually for affordable dental procedures. Los Algodones, Mexico is known as Molar City, or the dental capital of the world. It's a 20-minute drive from Yuma, Arizona, and a 2-hour drive from San Diego. There are hundreds of dentists who offer fillings and crowns and other services for prices far lower than in the United States. People from the United States report going to Thailand, India, South Korea for more complex procedures like the orthopedics, cardiovascular, cancer, and fertility treatments. The Dominican Republic, Colombia, and Mexico are known for their prolific churn of United States residents who visit for Brazilian butt lifts, or BBLs, which are usually buttocks enhancement surgeries. Why patients seek treatment in other countries? Well, here's some of the reasons that a patient might go for treatment in outside of the United States. If you have insurance, you could be paying less than your deductible and your copay, even when you're factoring in the extra expenses for airfare or lodging. If you're having an elective procedure, very often you're going to pay less than in the United States when including your travel costs. The dental procedures we've talked about can be especially expensive. You may be able to combine your medical care with a vacation. Some seek care from a clinician who understands their language, culture. Many people are also seeking to schedule with shorter wait times for a procedure. Medical tourism can be a good option to get a procedure or therapy that's not available or approved in the United States, or there may be local expertise where you are. Some people are pursuing advanced technology. Approximately 30% of medical tourists are traveling to access cutting-edge medical technology and treatments. About 10% of medical tourists are seeking alternative therapies and holistic treatments that are available at certain destinations. Most people seem to be after the cost savings angle. Medical tourism can save patients up to 70% on healthcare costs compared to the United States. A close second to cost savings may be the idea of combining treatment with a vacation. Approximately 40% of medical tourists are viewing this medical travel as an opportunity to combine treatment with leisure and vacation. Let's look now at medical tourism for the industry that it is. The global and economic impact of medical tourism. According to market.us media, the medical tourism industry is booming and has an estimated annual growth of 15 to 25%. Patients are drawn to popular destinations like Thailand, Mexico, India, Turkey, Malaysia, Costa Rica, and Singapore due to a substantial cost savings that we've talked about. Remarkably, over 90% of medical tourists express high satisfaction with their care. This thriving industry contributes the $100 billion annually to the global economy. Popular medical tourist destinations, popular medical tourist destinations often witness an increase of 25% in their healthcare-related revenue. In certain regions, employment opportunities in medical tourist-related sections can grow by 15%. In certain cases, of course, that makes up for 10% of a country's GDP, gross domestic product, the value of goods and services. Wow. With all this, you may be curious, well, who's seeking medical tourism? Who are medical tourists? Well, the place of origin, the majority of medical tourists are coming from the United States, Canada, the UK, and Western Europe. As far as age distribution, the majority of medical tourists fall within the age of 40 to 60 years old. That's about 45% of all medical tourists. Gender breakdown. Women constitute a higher percentage of medical tourists, making up approximately 60% of the total medical tourist population. Younger patients. There's an emerging trend showing a rise in medical tourism between the ages of 18 and 30. It's about 15% of the current medical tourism demographic. What about elderly medical travelers? Patients age 60 and above make up about 25% of medical tourists, and they're seeking specialized treatment such as joint replacements and cardiac surgeries. And then gender preference in procedures. Well, women dominate the cosmetic procedures, constituting about 80% of patients, while men tend to seek treatments for cardiology and orthopedics. So that's the who. What about the where? The top medical tourism destinations. Medical tourists from the United States are more likely to go to South America, Central America, and the Caribbean. The top destinations for U.S. travelers are Mexico and Canada. Worldwide, Asia is considered a medical tourism destination for many. According to Patients Beyond Borders, the top destinations include Costa Rica, India, Malaysia, Mexico, Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, Thailand, Turkey, and the United States. The United States remains a highly desirable destination for medical tourism for fertility treatments and stem cell therapy. Some hospitals offer international patient programs and medical travel services now. Let's take a quick look at one of the top medical tourism destinations and what it means for that country in a global market. Let's zero in for a moment on India's medical tourism. Again, according to Patients Without Borders, the Indian medical tourism market is estimated to be worth $6 billion. India receives about 500,000 medical tourists annually, making it a prominent destination. Cardiac surgery and orthopedic procedures are some of the most sought-after treatments by medical tourism due to India's expertise. Medical tourists in India can save 65 to 90% on medical expenses compared to Western countries. India offers over 20,000 registered medical tourist beds across various hospitals to ensure quality care. The Indian government has taken steps to simplify the medical visa process, enhancing the ease for access of international patients. So now we've covered the who's going and why and where. Aren't you curious as to where exactly patients are traveling and what procedures are hot or in highest demand? The top procedures sought in medical tourism. Dental implants are the most popular medical tourism procedure. What's $5,000 in the United States, in Mexico, the same procedure can cost $739. That's a difference of 85%. It's even less in Costa Rica, $541, or Spain, $549. Ooh, Spain. Other dental procedures commonly sought by medical tourists are veneers, crowns, and again, implants. In the plastic surgery arena, patients are going for liposuction, tummy tucks, breast implants, facelifts, and rhinoplasty or nose jobs. Patients are seeking LASIK surgery, not covered by insurance usually, and hair transplants. Turkey is a particularly popular destination for hair restoration, with about 60,000 medical tourists arriving each year for a new head of hair. Istanbul, Turkey's capital, is home to 350 hair restoration clinics, which charge less than $2,000 for the procedure. Medical tourism as your patient advocate sees it. Join me now in putting on your advocacy hat. I'm wondering, who are the providers inside this industry? Who arranges for it all, the care and the coordination? You may wonder where a patient advocate fits into all of this. As a patient advocate, I'm watching all this unfold. The medical travel journey is complex and could be overwhelming for a medical tourist visiting a country for the first time. Patient advocates can play an integral role in ensuring a seamless medical travel continuum by guiding medical tourists through the care journey and ensuring they get the best care that they can get. Personally, I know of only a couple of patient advocates that are assisting right now with medical tourism, and certainly more are going to make this their niche as the industry grows. Still, the care and coordination piece should always hold a buyer beware for anybody considering medical tourism. And there's going to be a lot of kinda advocates online, easy to find because they've paid for ads. Providers are going to peddle their wares, the good and the not so good, and refer to themselves as advocates. Buyer beware. And I say buyer beware because the consumer must always follow the money to find the allegiance. Who's getting paid, and to whom does their allegiance belong? To illustrate, let's just say that your online search has rendered a promising, seemingly terrific concierge service that handles all the details for your medical tourism journey. Turnkey service from soup to nuts. I would ask, who's paying them? Where's their money coming from? Are there deals and endorsements, any contracts you should know about? Maybe you found an organization whose service is to offer to negotiate your costs, perhaps taking a percentage. Right or wrong, and no matter what you decide to do, you owe it to yourself to at least understand how it all works, and then make your best decisions. Now let's hit the pause button for just a moment on the shiny, lower cost solution, possible vacation, and let's consider these tried and true approaches. Let's bring it back home to reality, to your path. First, I'd suggest consult with your provider, your doctor, that person called your primary care provider, the one who's supposed to be your medical home. And also, hire a patient advocate. They can assist with due diligence, help with the research and vetting of providers, be a soundboard or maybe a thought provoker. We're pretty good at some devil's advocacy when needed. We attempt to shoot a hole in what seems too good to be true, because we all know about the hindsight associated with that phrase. If it seems too good to be true, it usually is. There's risk involved in medical tourism, as with any medical procedure. What about recovery? At the destination or in flight? Can you fly safely after all this? And during follow-up care when you've returned back to the United States? Are y'all starting to peel the onion with me? There's a lot more to realize. There's always the possibility that something can go wrong. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, our CDC can be a great resource. There's specific risks if you receive health care outside the United States. See if any of these get your attention. Infectious disease. You may have a higher likelihood of infection to wounds or to enter your bloodstream or from an organ or tissue transplant. You could be at higher risk for acquiring hepatitis B, hepatitis C, HIV, or even COVID. There may be antibiotic resistance it's higher in some countries. There's a risk of bringing a multi-drug resistant infection back home that could spread on the community level. Quality of care is a concern. The licensing, credentialing, and accreditation in some countries may be less rigorous than in the United States. Equipment and devices may not have the same regulatory or sterilization requirements. Medications could be counterfeit or ineffective. Communication challenges. You may not speak the same language as the medical staff, and translation may be unavailable or inadequate. This can lead to misunderstandings, to say the least, but if you don't speak the local language, it can be difficult to explain any feelings or symptoms or discomfort when they come up. Traveling. Did you know that long airplane rides and car rides can increase your risk of blood clots? If you've had chest or abdominal surgery, you shouldn't travel by air for at least 10 days because of the associated changes in atmospheric pressure. If you have cosmetic surgery on your face, eyelids, nose, if you've had any laser treatments, you have to wait 7 to 10 days before taking a flight. And traveling on planes and through airports also may expose you to viruses, including COVID. Then there's continuity of care. You may need follow-up surgery when you return home, whether or not you're having any complications. How are those medical records going to convey? And are we talking apples to apples here as far as care and treatment between countries? This patient advocate also has to bring it back to patient rights. Your personal health information. Who has access to your records? How will those records be protected? Will you have the right to refuse treatment in another country? How much say will you have all along? Ensuring safety. It's important to check with your primary care doctor and other providers before you travel for medical treatment. Ask questions and prepare carefully, because there are additional risks involved when you're receiving healthcare abroad. Check the credentials of your expected providers in another country. Research the medical facility, which may or may not have the same standards as healthcare institutions in the United States. You can find out a lot from our CDC. They have an entire section on medical tourism, and also from vaccination websites. Yep, you may need to get some inoculations in advance of travel to foreign countries. And did you know that there's not only do we have the Joint Commission on Health, there's an International Joint Commission on Health that's a good resource. Pro tip here. To be sure, you're going to find attractive websites from travel destinations themselves, but use those websites to develop your questions, not so much to rely on your answers. Now, I'm only suggesting that you gain or perform some due diligence to have your eyes wide open about it all. To me, it's interesting to observe the industry and its growth. I mean, what patient advocate doesn't want to know about more options for care and treatment? Have you noticed that we haven't even covered the posh part of travel and tourism? Where might you lie in the lap of luxury while you heal? You know, I'm not here to dangle pristine views or images of lapping aqua waters or world-class cuisine as part of your recovery. But I suppose it's there, provided you remain long enough. Even that suggests another question for your consideration. Where do you really want to spend your recovery? In the known or the unknown? And that's for you to decide. As medical tourism evolves, I believe that travelers should carefully evaluate their decision with their primary care providers here in the United States. You should look at or hire someone to view and qualify the safety and regulatory standards and medical facilities that you're planning on visiting in your chosen destination. Did you hear that plug for patient advocacy services for informed decision making? It's something everybody deserves and that we as patient advocates can help ensure. You know, medical tourism, it's shiny and it's new and it may be an option for you. My goal is always to provoke your thought and to have folks think differently and to look beyond the obvious to a patient advocate. The obvious is often shiny and too good to be true, and I'm looking out for you. Keeping abreast of medical trends that may impact you or somebody you love, that's my jam for you. I hope something that I've said today helps you to move more comfortably forward in life, or at least gives you something fun to talk about at your next social gathering. Thanks, everybody.